Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 15 of the Pastor's Porch. Today, we are going to be talking about part two of our series on the effectiveness of summer and fall ministries. If you didn't listen to last week we covered summer ministries within our church. And again, this two-part series is specifically designed to our church, to Unity, but it is not limited to other pastors, leaders, and people from other churches can listen and adopt some things and hear some things and still learn from this. But we are taking it from the standpoint of our church because Pastor Zach and I pastor this church. And so today we are going to cover part two. We're calling it the fall kickoff. The fall kickoff, maybe a little emphasis because football starts in the fall. Sure. And you got a lot of kickoffs with football. But we are going to talk about some things that we are looking forward to in ministry for the fall, some things that we're going to plan, and just what ministry kind of just looks like in the fall. We're going to talk about it from a pastoral standpoint, but then we're also going to talk about it from a standpoint of congregational and what the people of the church should do, should expect, should be a part of, all encompassing of what ministry within the church in the fall looks like. And so, Pastor Zach?
Yeah, well, first let me say this. The fall kickoff is the right word because as much as I enjoy the rest, if you will, or as we talked about last week, some of the downtime of the summer, I love the knowledge that the kickoff is coming, right? Does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
I love knowing that people are going to be back in that routine that we talk about. I love knowing that Fridays I may get a chance to pray with the coaches or the teams on certain things, or on Saturdays we might get an opportunity to have some volunteer fellowships, and then on Sundays I know that people are preparing to go back into their week.
Their work week, their school week,
all
the above.
So it kind of helps a guy like me who's scatterbrained to be a little more focused. And so for me personally, I love knowing that time of year is coming, because I love knowing that I'm going to have not the box to put God in, but the avenue to use God in, right? Like the avenue to better reach people, streamlined. Whereas in the summer, you're kind of using buckshot, right? I'm fixing to pull the slug, right? And so, I don't know, people don't censor me. Don't cancel me, okay? Like, it's just reality. Like, you get to use this streamline, if you will, of effective ministry.
Correct.
And I think people want that. I think, you know, we talked last week about how people want a break. Well, on the flip side, people want effectiveness, being told what to do, and structure.
Yeah, I said last week, and it still stays true, is my mom at the end of summers would always say, I can't wait to get back into routine.
I'm in that place. And I'm there.
And so there's benefits of having that structure and having an expectation and a knowing of what to look forward to when you're in some of those things. And so I think there's benefit in that. And
I agree with your mom 100%. We've reached that place in my house right now. We're ready to go back. Well, talk to me a little bit. Okay, so we talked last week a lot about VBS. We talked about church camps and different things like that. So talk to me from a youth specific, from a youth streamline of what are things that you start thinking of, the difference in summer youth, which is kind of chaotic.
I can't correct
use that other word because they'll cancel me, or the fall. What does it look like to you?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we have youth that look forward to in the summer church camps. We talked about that last week. But end of the fall, I look forward to a consistent engagement with kids. I don't have to worry about kids being gone on vacation. Right. I don't have to worry about kids being on a fishing trip. I don't have to worry about kids being your kids being at other churches because they're spending the night with kids. Not just your kids. That's just an inside joke. But I get to look forward to consistently engaging with the same amount of kids. And so, you know, one thing I'm super looking forward to is we switched our youth services back to Sunday nights. Cause I don't know about, where all other leaders are, where all other kids are, but I know for the town we're in West Fork, there ain't a whole lot that goes on a Sunday night.
For sure.
And so it gives me ability to draw kids in, to minister to them and to tell them about the gospel. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but it also allows me to pour into them before they go throughout a whole week of being, I'm just going to be honest, being poured hell into them throughout their classes and their classmates and all these things. And hopefully they're around other godly people that are spiritually pouring into them. But it would be ignorant of me not to think that they're going to get a lot of the world when they go back into the school system. Yeah. And so I look forward to giving a consistent engagement of those kids on Sunday nights. And then our Wednesday night discipleship groups, that we're starting up midweek, pouring into them again. And it also gives me an opportunity. Obviously, we have a good relationship with our school systems that I'm going to be able to. My goal and my plan is to once a week eat with our middle schoolers and our high schools. Just to let them see that I'm there. I'm for them. I want to let them see me in the schools. And it's an opportunity for me to meet new kids. It's an opportunity for me to take my ministry outside of these walls just on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and into the community. And then you got different events like Fifth Quarters, which we already have some of them planned throughout the school year on Friday nights. It's an opportunity to just engage with kids after they've had all week in different things. And I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a couple other fall things that I look forward to with our youth students of that we're going to do a little bit differently this year, that we get to maybe do a couple different things as a youth group together and when they have time off. And there's some things that, you know, that I'm planning that correlate with some special events of special months that I look forward to be able to use those times for our youth students to just pour into them. And so I love the summers. I love the off time. I love church camp, and I love the effectiveness of what we are able to do during the summer. But I also look forward to, if anybody knows me, I'm a very organized, structured, I've already got a calendar put together for the rest of the whole fall, because that's just how my brain operates. So I look forward to that, because there's expectations that come with that and opportunities that you don't necessarily get all the time. And so,
Well, I love that, man. I mean, I'll be honest with you, like, you know, for those that are listening that may not know, I have two kids in the youth group. I have two boys in the youth group, right? So when you told me about the Sunday night thing, right? All we had done for the last several years on Sunday nights was small groups, connection groups, and this sort of thing. And so when you told me about that, this is going to sound maybe super fleshly. I don't mean it to. But one of the greatest blessings that has come from that was me and my wife got to spend time with my daughters. And so, I mean, yeah, it's just a couple-hour window. And in, like, all transparency, we went grocery shopping, because we've been gone on vacation for this time. But we literally sat in the Sam's Club Cafe and fed my daughter some pizza, right? That's what they wanted. You know, because we just bought all the groceries and they didn't need those. They just needed the pizza, you know? But at least it's cheap. But that intentional couple-hour window, because we get so much time with our sons because they're that age where, you know, we get the time. They're teenagers and going into teenage years. But to have that little window tucked away I realized that this youth ministry taking off for the fall and the things that you're doing, it's not just a ministry to the youth.
Correct.
It's a ministry to the family because, you know, let's just say one Sunday we decide we're going to drop our girls and we go out on a date.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just now just transparent with four kids. We don't get a lot of date nights.
Correct. Well, and that was my heart. You and I have talked about this, and I'll just give it for everybody. It was my heart in that to not only have an opportunity to serve these kids and loving these kids, but it was my heart that in doing this on Sunday night to give a couple hours for parents, that it's restoring a healthy relationship of what they need.
Ministering to the whole church.
And that was my heart behind the whole deal. And people may think that's crazy and that's kind of strange, but at the same time, like, I'm wanting to allow that opportunity for parents that have three or four kids that are in the youth group that don't get time alone.
Right.
Well, now they got a couple hour window because now that's restoring their relationship, which then restores the family relationship, which then restores the youth relationship, which then restores the church.
Well, and I mean, I've said this for a couple years now. I really believe it. Strong relationships build strong churches, and strong churches build strong communities. And I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah.
Because when those boys do get back in the car, then the conversation is turned to, what was your time like, right? Well, we get to tell them, hey, look, man, we had this date, or we had this grocery shopping, or hey, man, we bought your favorite snack at the grocery store, or we just got to walk in peace, or we got to take the girls to the park, or whatever it may be. But then they get to say, hey, Dad, I learned blah, 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 right? The youth group, this is what we did tonight. This is the game we did. This is like last week, you know, Jackson was sure to tell me his team got third place. And he wanted everybody to know that his team got third place, and he was disappointed, but also kind of excited because I guess there was a lot of teams. I don't really know, but Hunter had things about the testimonies, and so like the balance of my two sons was we spent the next hour talking about the spiritual things that had happened, but also the physical things,
sure,
the fun things. And so really, then what happened? My family grew because of it.
Yeah.
And what the world sees is, maybe, oh, my kid's got a place to hang out on Sunday nights.
Correct.
Much deeper than that.
It is.
It's a relationship that gets to build as we sit around the dinner table that night.
Yeah.
And we all got to talk about spiritual things. You know? And the balance of that is necessary as we talk about the kickoff. Right? The balance of life. And I think that's the thing, that's the carrot at the end of the stick, if you will, that pastors want to chase into the fall season, is I want to give the families a reason to connect and see the importance,
yes,
of spiritual, I don't even want to say disciplines, spiritual routines, spiritual hobbies, spiritual gatherings, whatever word you want to use, you guys can pick a word. But there's value in showing the family their need for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll just jump right into it, how we kind of talked about that we want to show what the family's role within the church is through the fall is it's a time to really get invested and connected.
Yeah.
There's ample opportunities during the fall and throughout all the year, but there are some things that we were able to do within the fall because of different events, fall roundup, Thanksgiving time, Christmas time, and everything that we do as a church in those times. We kind of, without meaning to, we prioritize family time during the fall.
Sure.
And it's, I don't think it's necessarily purposeful by our design, but it just kind of happens. And so there's importance of families investing in church and in the community during those times. And that ultimately is we build the family unit. The family unit builds the family unit of the church.
Right.
And just as you said, strong relationships build strong churches, and strong churches build strong communities. And it's important, and there's a reason why we call it the kickoff, is because it's just the starting point.
Yeah,
it's just the starting point for everything else to take off from that.
Right, and I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Like, by the very design, and everybody's afraid of this word culture. Like, half the pastors just turned it off because I said the word culture. But everyone's afraid of culture, right? I don't think it's something to fear. I think it's something to embrace in this sense. Embrace in the sense of take what you can get, right? And so here's what I'm thinking. I'm looking at the fall, and this is what we automatically think of. The weather's going to cool down. We have these family events like you talk about. But what happens in our society? Thanksgiving begins to look around the corner. Christmas, these are times when people are happier. They're thankful. They're more thankful. Sometimes people are sadder. Sometimes it's a hardship for people. I look at all of those things when you talk about the first, or I should say the last 4 months of the year. When you look at the last 4 months of the year, I see them as some of the biggest opportunities to build foundational doctrine of the Word of God in people's lives.
Yeah.
In preaching terms, Thanksgiving and Christmas are a layup, right? Like, you can't miss. It's kind of like Easter morning. Okay, you can't miss. You preach the resurrection of Christ. It's kind of like Good Friday. You preach the cross. Like Thanksgiving and Christmas, did you ever notice how much happier people are at those times of year? And then you meet them in like July when it's 117 and it's cranky. And you're like, oh, you're happier in Thanksgiving. So people are a little easier. And I don't mean this in a way of getting over on somebody. I don't mean this in any negative way. It's easier to communicate that hope, right?
Absolutely.
That fall roundup is the word we use. The fall festival.
Fall festival,
the carnival and the gathering and the harvest time and the weather has begun to cool down and people begin to fix their eyes upon Christmas. And I don't even think people even realize that this happens because we don't talk about it. But the reality is, it is happening. It does happen. It's coming. And the word and the fellowship and the worship, and even like in our town, they ask us to come downtown and be a part of a Christmas festival, and we get to go bless people, and we get to go sow seed into people, and we get to go share the love of God with, you know, hundreds of people, and I don't even know how many people come out there, but so many people. And every year, it's either hot chocolate or, you know, simple things, coffee or maybe nachos or hot dogs or whatever it is, and I'm thinking, like, why is the church so afraid of those things? Like, what an opportunity to get to go stand in the middle of the city square, and all I got to do is grill some hot dogs and I can talk to people about Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't think we understand the value of those things. And I think when we do realize how valuable those things are, we can begin to realize it's not about me grilling a hot dog.
Correct.
It may be about that volunteer in the church who gets to serve on that night because it gets dark earlier and their job is done, right?
Yeah.
Or they get off earlier or whatever the case may be. Maybe they're off for Thanksgiving and they can hand out the food boxes or the Christmas angels. Or,
there's more opportunities to serve.
Yes! Oh, man, through the roof.
Because before I took on this role of pastoring, I was in the educational system.
Yeah.
And one thing that we always looked forward to starting the year was the amount of breaks that we got.
Yeah.
Because springtime came around, you only got one break in the springtime.
Right.
The fall was Labor Day and fall break and Thanksgiving break and Christmas break. It was break.
Right.
Well, in the same sense, I mean, people get off for their jobs in those times and or maybe take off for those jobs in those times. And so there's more opportunities for people to get plugged in and to serve. And, you know, that's one thing that we hadn't even mentioned yet. One thing that we kick off even for our church is our connection groups in the fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an opportunity to families to get plugged in.
Small groups.
And our small groups. That's what we call our small groups here, our connection groups. And so different churches call them different things, and that's beautiful and it's great. But we kind of get to we kick off what the Acts Church was in our fall of gathering in homes and just being simple fellowship and simple Bible time. It's we don't put a big expectation on it.
No.
We just want to fellowship. We want to eat. We want to gather. And you can go back several weeks ago, and we actually spent a whole podcast talking about this very thing in the Church of Acts and their fellowship. But that's one thing that we do within our church. And so if you're a new family that's listening within our church, we encourage you to get involved. Just stay tuned for what's coming. If you're a part of another church that does small groups, we want you to get connected within your church and within your small group. Because I know a lot of pastors and a lot of churches that started in the fall when things get back into a routine and a rhythm. And so those are opportunities as you, as members of the church, to get plugged in. Those are opportunities to where if you aren't serving in an area of the church where you can lead a small group. Where you can be a host within a home. I'm telling you, the gift of hospitality is not used enough within the church. And that's one area that you can do it. If you're a pastor listening to this and you don't have small groups, you don't have small groups within your church, I urge you to start something. Mm-hmm. Even if it's to where you can only do two groups. Mm-hmm. Great. That's two opportunities of you living out and breathing out what the Church of Acts did, mm-hmm. of just meeting and fellowshipping with one another. And so we call it the fall kickoff because it kicks off so many things that we want to keep a continual basis throughout the spring and the summer months. So it's whether we like to admit it or not, the fall is the kickoff. The springtime is just kind of halftime. The summer months is kind of the end result, and people get worn back out by the summer. And then next fall, we're going to do the same thing again. And so, but there's beauty in revamping and redoing some of these things. And so just as with our youth group, we're kind of revamping some things. We're wanting to kick off some new things. We're revamping and kind of kicking off our small groups in a different way this year. But there's opportunities to serve, to get plugged in, and to grow as families within these months as well.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, when I look at it, the old simple football mind will come out. And the first 3 minutes of that game are so important. You know, a lot of times we call it setting the tone.
Correct.
And as we kind of shift this towards the home, let's talk about that for a minute. When the ball is kicked off, there's a game that begins. And there's a very real game then. Well, the fall is no different. Before we know it, we'll be a month into the fall. And we'll be saying, oh my goodness, you know, Thanksgiving's right around the corner and these sorts of things. Setting the tone early is vital. From a youth minister's, associate pastor's point of view that deals with a ton of kids every age throughout the campus and parents as well, talk to me a little bit about some disciplines that we can set in our home. Because nowadays homework looks different. Nowadays homework's on a computer a lot of times and homework is brought home, and football starts, and cheerleading starts, and fall baseball starts, and band starts, and all of these things. And so the schedules are filling up.
Correct.
Tell me, my kids are gone from 7 in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. They're not going to have the energy for a one-hour sermon. Tell me how to reach my kids. Tell me how to handle that. You know, and I know there's different approaches.
But sure.
But give me some ideas of what you're thinking along those terms. Tell me how to reach my kids that are booked 12 hours a day.
Yeah, well, it is difficult, and understand what I'm going to talk about is not necessarily going to work for everyone. And I'm going to give a couple different examples of what I've seen, what's worked in our home, what I've seen worked in other homes. Mm-hmm. And so you need to take what I'm saying and just find a way to apply it to your life. But people have the misconception that the only way that you're going to grow and learn something is sitting down and doing it for an hour, talking about it for an hour. Man, some of the greatest things I can remember in my home that carried me throughout the day is before I ever left, my parents would pray with us before we go to school.
Yeah.
Just 30-second prayer.
Yeah.
Just literally, Lord, touch them today. Bring if they have a test today, bring to knowledge what they've studied and they've learned and different things. And that's effective. If you pack, you want to, you know, if you pack your child's lunch, as simple as sending a scriptural quote just on a sticky note.
Yeah.
So as they're pulling out their lunch in the middle of the day, they may have had a rough morning. You don't know what that can mean to them.
Sure.
Just putting that in there. Then at nights, if you're able to eat dinner together, tell me about your day. Tell me what was good. Tell me what was bad. Tell me, speak to me on where you saw the Lord today and where you needed him more. And just allowing those relationships in the moments that you're given to use, and you kind of talked about it last week, is not being so much concerned with the time you don't have, but with the time you do have. We have this persona that the only time that ministering can happen, whether it be in the church house or within our homes, is when we're actually stopping, we're worshiping for 30 minutes, and then we're getting a word for 30 minutes. Man, there is so much more into that. And so it's a balance for everybody. Obviously, it's a balance. But I would say don't neglect the opportunities to go to church. And I know if you're, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. I understand there's times for rest. If you didn't listen to last week's, we talked about that very important time for rest. But what I'm saying is, don't neglect opportunities to get fed. And that's even on your own time as a family is, if you have a 30-minute window before bed, just pray before bed. Say, hey, let's just look at the verse of the day. And you may think, well, that's a cop-out. I'm just going to be raw and real with you. There are some times in my life where I'm going that I'm like, I just need to read the verse of the day for myself so that I'm spiritually uplifted for the day. And there's absolutely nothing, there's nothing wrong with that. And so there's opportunities to be disciplined. I can remember when I was playing football on Friday nights, my dad would find an opportunity before the game to take 15 seconds to pray with me. 15 seconds. And I know you can ask my mom, she's probably praying the whole time up in the stand. And we laugh about that. We joke about that. We think it's silly, but those are opportunities that I've never forgotten.
Well, man, and that you never will. And you'll teach that to your kids.
Absolutely.
You'll show those things. And I think for me, I'm a big car ride guy.
I was about to.
And I'm a big dinner table guy. And man, in ministry, you know, and raising kids, that dinner table sometimes is 9:30, 10 o'clock, eating a McDonald's hamburger when you don't want it.
A fried bologna sandwich.
It's a ham and cheese sandwich. It's not about the food.
Correct.
But I fight for those times with my kids. Yeah. Because, one, I was telling somebody this morning about go study how much Jesus got done around the table. And then go look at his life around the table. But for my kids, they're at that age where we spend a lot of time going A to Z, place to place, practice to practice, game to game, this sort of thing. And so what I look at is I don't have a lot of time to just sit down like you and I do, where we can sit in the office and talk about God's word. But in the car, I can have those conversations.
Yeah.
At the dinner table, I can have those conversations.
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest things that I don't know why I forgot to mention, but cell phones. Like, I guarantee you all who are listening, even if you have sixth graders, fifth graders, they're going to have some sort of communication. And so just being intentional, especially as parents, I'm telling you, it is important to be intentional with your kids. And I understand you get tired as parents, and I understand you get wore out, but that's the importance of that discipline. And you got to understand 5 minutes is better than no minutes.
I got convicted a couple of years ago. Yeah. Cause you're right. Cause I'm going to prove your point. A couple of years ago, I got convicted. I was sending out a Facebook, devotional every day. Right. I whatever the verse the Lord would give me, I type it. It was great. You know, whatever. Praise God, he would give me that. And then I'd send it out, and all these Facebook guys would get it. And, you know, oh, cool, you know, whatever. And the Holy Spirit said, why do you send that out on social media and you don't give it to your kids or your wife? Oh. Knowing that my wife was going to see it on the Facebook still. So the Holy Spirit said, I want you to send your kids an email every day.
Yeah, because they had Chromebooks.
Yep, and I want you to copy your wife, and I want you to put it in the email every day. And literally, most days, it's as simple as this. I love you. I believe in you. Here's something the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. And it may be one verse. It may be five verses. It may be this. But what had happened was one of the teachers told me, I make the kids check their email every day. Now, I got one kid I know that is reading that every bit of it. I think the other kid just clicks read, right?
Sure.
Because they're just different ages. They're different stages. But this is what I know. I can't blow up their phone with the text messages all day long at the age they are and at my wife's
correct,
job.
Correct.
But all of them get a lunch break and all of them check their email. And that has been such a blessing in my life.
Yeah.
To be able to, even on my day off, I can roll over and say, hey, man, I just dropped him at school. Well, let me tell you what I'm praying for you. And those emails will probably go away when they graduate high school, I guess, you know. But they'll be in mine. And my kids will always.
But here's what they'll remember. Even because I know which kids you're talking about. Yeah. Even if they don't read it.
Yeah.
Here's what comes across. My dad cares about me.
That's right. Yeah. And they're getting that.
He's wanting to pour into me spiritually. Even though he may not be to an age yet of understanding how to take that and how to read it and how to apply it and how to think about it and how to dwell on it.
Right.
It shows the intentionality of that you are wanting to invest spiritually into his life. Yeah. And so that's what I want parents that are listening to this, aunts and uncles, grandparents and all grandparents, just understanding that even if they're not reading it with the intent to grow in their relationship with Christ, it's still showing that you care about them. Mm-hmm. And it's important. And so last week we had during the middle of the week, we had a backpack giveaway at the church. And one thing I told our youth students is I want you to be there, not because I want you to serve and do different things. I said, I want you to be there so that the classmates that are getting a backpack see you.
Yeah.
So that when something goes wrong in their life, they know who to turn to. And that's the important in the discipline that we're trying to teach you guys during this fall kickoff and the fall time and how to invest in family time and in the word and the family unit is I was at an age once where my parents would tell me things and do things and I would blow it off and didn't really care about it. But when I came to the age of realizing the importance of what they were doing, it gave me a greater love for them.
Well, yeah, and that seed sows deeper.
It sows deeper than we expect it to.
Oh, and that gets revealed. That's where it comes full circle. That gets revealed in the car ride.
Yes.
In the dinner table. You know, because you may think, I'm sending that text, I'm sending that email. They're not really responding. I'm praying over them in the morning. I'm sharing the word with them at night. The last 5 minutes before they go to sleep, I'm laying hands on them, and I'm praying for them. And you think, oh, it's not really... It's not taking. And then all of a sudden, one day, they're sitting at the dinner table, and they just start talking about the things of God.
Absolutely.
And that's when you know, don't look for the instant gratification.
Correct.
Look for the deep root.
Well, that's a couple of weeks ago, we had a youth testimonial night, and there were some of the kids that got up and shared that I was floored.
Yeah.
I was just floored by them. And it's because to the outside world and to things that they're dealing with, you would never know, but it's fruits of many prayers and many conversations and things that it was a deep well that nobody would ever knew and never even tap into had the opportunity not been given.
Yes.
And so that's where, and listen, what we've discussed and what we've explained is not the only way you can do things.
No.
There's you got to find out what fits for your family unit and stuff. But the importance is the discipline. You know, we expect our kids to be disciplined in their studies. We expect our kids to be disciplined in their practice time for
hobbies,
sports. We expect them to be disciplined in their band and their fine arts and in their cheer and in XYZ, you name it. The only way they're going to learn discipline in relationship with Christ is if we teach them.
Uh-oh. Say that again.
The only way that they are going to understand discipline in their relationship with Christ is if we teach them.
That's our role.
That's the fall kickoff, and that's the importance in getting plugged in within the church or getting plugged in with small groups. And we've discussed and talked about a lot, but it is important for us to be disciplined when they have structure for them to see it as parents, as role models, as leaders within the church.
Yeah, one last thing I want to say, and then I'll let it go. But you just sprung a thought on me that the amount of hours that kids get every week away from the things of God, it's a constant inflow of a lot of negative. Some good.
Sure.
Some great.
Sure.
Some good things, some God things. But they get very little time in spiritual discipline. And I would just encourage anybody that's listening to this, you know, it's easy. We can focus on youth because it's kind of easy to talk about youth in that sense.
Absolutely.
But all of us
should
evaluate our hobbies, our patterns, our disciplines, and make sure that we are setting aside that time for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with those hobbies. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But it comes to what are you filling yourself up with more?
Yes.
And the balance.
Balance, we said at the same time.
Yeah, we did.
Man, well, I love you guys, and I pray that you have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next
time. Thanks for listening to The Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.